late last week when it came out. This woman hadn't had a lot to drink. She's a mom. Mm-hmm. You know, she's there at the resort with her husband and kids. She's not out getting falling down.
Of course. I mean,
loaded
at
in
a
the
lot
middle
of
these,
the day. All inclusive. It's a lot of juice and not that much alcohol in the drink.
The conclusion that they came to was that she had been poisoned, and the allegation is that they're actually serving counterfeit alcohol at these resorts in Mexico. We can guess where that's coming from. Here's a hint. China. And who knows what's in the stuff. So, yeah, the State Department is completely in the right to do this. You know, this isn't a conversation we should even be having. This is ridiculous. But if people are going to cut corners, and maybe the resorts don't know, but clearly there's some bad stuff on the streets and on the bar shelves down in Mexico. So if you're going to go down there, don't drink anything.
Yeah.
BYO. WMFO Medford. Just stunning that we're even having this conversation. In technology news, if you own a Roomba, your floor plan could soon be for sale. iRobot CEO Colin Angle told Reuters this week that he is considering selling data on home layouts to manufacturers of smart devices, potentially including Amazon, Apple, and Google, so that those companies could better optimize smart devices, including lighting, thermostats, and personal assistants. Wall Street loved the announcement, with the stock trading at $102 a share in mid-June, but there are privacy concerns with iRobot's plans. Angle said that iRobot will not sell any data without permission from customers, and he believes that most customers will share the data if it means better smart home products.
Here's my problem with Roombas and iRobots. Essentially, the way that they work is they turn on and they follow the outline of your entire home.
It's a little spy is what it is.
It essentially is recording the entire layout of your home. Yes or no?
Yes.
Hmm. I don't know if I want that information to be available.
You know who?
You know what, Derek? Here is a crazy idea.
You know who wants that information? Burglars.
You take something like a vacuum, you plug it in, and you just push it around, just like, you know, for like 3 minutes, and you're good. But no, America is so lazy that we need to turn on a robot to run around and...
Except that...
No, correct me if I'm wrong. You do have one.
What?
One of these devices.
Oh, no.
You don't?
No.
I thought you had one of the generic ones.
No.
Really?
No, the wife wants one.
Oh. That's what
the wife wants.
Oh,
one.
And she never got it for Christmas.
The wife ain't getting one. The wife is not getting the vacuum robot.
I'm gonna get an angry text message now.
The wife has a nice vacuum cleaner that she's free to use anytime that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind having a robot lawnmower, but I don't have one. Here's the thing: it's not like they're going to sell the map of your living room. And Google is going to be like, oh, here's what Bob's living room looks like. Look at where he has that chair. Silly Bob, you're an idiot. Because the companies that they're selling this stuff to, the layout of a single house is completely meaningless to them. Because what they're trying to do is design mass market products and design them for the way that houses are most commonly laid out. So say, for example, I'm building Amazon Echo, okay? I want to know how sensitive that microphone needs to be and
how big the
average room is. So if I've got Roomba data on 5 million U.S. households and I know people put it in the living room, I can look at the average size of a U.S. living room and the average layout of a U.S. living room and say, okay, people are going to put it here, so I need the microphone to be able to go this far.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, what everybody does...
I honestly hate how smart that is.
Everybody who's got an Amazon Echo...
It's all so awful.
They've got it in one of two places. It's either sitting in the middle of the coffee table, or it's sitting on a side table.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they use it, they put their faces on top of it, like they're speaking into a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Your nose is brushing up against the thing. Alexa, where's the nearest Cumbies? I got to get some coffee. Alexa.
We're real smart. Wicked smart here.
So this is one of those things that privacy advocates are going to get up in arms about.
No, of course. And there's so many different things that they can use it for. The example that you gave being one.
But the reality is, personally identifying information about your home's layout Number one is already available online. If your home is sold in the last 10 years, go to Zillow.com and you can see all the layouts of your rooms. That doesn't say where furniture is placed, which is information that Amazon and Apple and Google would like to have because they want to develop thermostats and lights and all kinds of things. It's meaningless to anybody else. No one cares like where you've got the plants in your living room. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not like we're getting a hold.
How your feng shui is.
Yeah, it's not like we're getting a hold of your social security number. Mm-hmm. A feng shui expert might want to get individualized data and be like, I want to know who has bad things in their wealth
corner.
Make
sure you have, you know, 9 lemons in the bowl.
Yeah. But the amount of work that you'd have to do to turn that into a marketing list, nobody's going to do that. Mm-hmm. So go sell your data. The smart move by the iRobot.
And Molly, you're still not getting a Roomba.
Molly is not getting the vacuum robot. No, she can get the vacuum robot when I get the sex robot. That's the deal. And she won't let me get the sex robot. So.
You're a sick, sick man.
Stalemate.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
If you like stormy weather, have I got a forecast for you. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the low 60s, but no rain. The rain will be blowing around a bit tomorrow, though. Depending on where you are, it might get a little, might get a lot. Cloudy skies, highs in the mid-70s, lows in the 60s again. Same story on Friday, although we may see a little bit of sun toward the end of the day. Highs will get up around 80, still cool for this time of year. Lows in the mid-60s. Saturday, potential coastal storm making its way into the area. Final track of the storm isn't known yet. Could be a washout on Saturday. Could just be a bad day on the Cape and the islands. Keep an eye on the forecast. Temperatures are only going to get into the mid-60s under cloudy skies on Saturday. They're going to fall back into the low 60s and middle 50s Saturday night. Then Sunday, mostly sunny, high in the low 70s and lows in the 60s on Sunday night. No air conditioning needed, kids.
Nice.
Lisa Nichols hates this weather. No beach days. If this was your vacation week, sorry, you picked a bad one. And actually, no sign.
Oh, yeah, because those 75-degree sunny days are meh.
Yeah, no sign that we're going to see anything near even 90 degrees for the rest of this month. So, but August starts on Tuesday, so we'll see what happens in the coming month. But yeah, just very unusual cold and damp snap here in late July. Could be a sign of an early autumn.
I like autumn. I love summer.
I like autumn, too. I don't know if I like it in August. That's piling up. Because
you always get on me for loving summer so much. Fall's up there.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, autumn starts in August. We're going to have snow in October again. And I am definitely not ready for that.
Yeah, I'm not ready for shoveling.
855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Stick around for that. And stick around after this break because when we come back, it's Did You Hear? All the other things that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford.
Red light, stop. Green light, go. Every symbol has a meaning, even those symbols on the meat sold in your grocery store. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist, U.S. Department of Agriculture. The purple shield with the letters USDA and the word prime, choice, or good is your sign of quality. Quality that's been checked by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prime means it's the top grade and usually the most expensive. Choice, the grade you'll see in most stores, is also very high in quality. If the meat has been graded for quality, you'll know that it has also passed a strict inspection for wholesomeness. You'll see the symbol for wholesomeness, a round purple inspection mark, on wholesale cuts of meat and packaged meat products. For more information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
In the world of fairy tales, Sleeping Beauty had three good fairies to protect her. But in our world, protecting the beauty of the forest is the responsibility of everyone.
Listen well, all of you.
9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans and can be prevented.
We'll all pitch in. If humans can do it, so can we.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Log on to SmokeyBear.com to find out what you can do. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. Here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, you can call us at 855-915-9636. It's Did You Hear, that part of the show. We don't have Shay tonight, so Derek and I will quiz each other on all those other stories that made top of the news. He's going to tell us what the story is about. As always, I'll start. Michael Kors.
Michael Kors is buying, not Dolce & Gabbana. It's Michael Kors is buying, not Versace.
Mm-mm.
Michael Kors is buying another one of those named fashion companies,
yes,
to regain its foothold in the luxury market. Donna Karan, no. David.
Nope. I feel like you almost started.
Yeah, I can't remember who it is.
Jimmy Choo. Jimmy Choo shoes.
Jimmy Choo.
So today the fashion company agreed to buy shoemaker Jimmy Choo for $1.2 billion. So obviously it's been hard for Michael Kors company as of recently to, you know, have consumers buy their expensive handbags. Millennials are leaning more towards Coach, Kate Spade. So Michael Kors is hoping that the acquisition of Jimmy Choo is going to help elevate their company.
Half point. I had
he has
everything but
money.
Jimmy Choo.
Ooh.
Transgender.
President Trump announced today that transgender people are not allowed to serve in the military.
Please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail, so saith the presidential tweet. There were several tweets in there.
Yeah.
This comes about 2 months before it was expected that they would be allowing transgenders in the military. There is backstory here. There is a fair amount of backstory here, which, having spoken to some people who are plugged into what's going on in the United States military, the whole reason they were going to allow transgender people in the first place is because there have been recruitment issues. It may be that those recruitment issues have gone away. It may not be. It was one of those situations where we need to be able to take anybody that we can get because nobody is signing up.
Mm-hmm.
Sign-ups may have gone up. They may not have. On the one hand, you can make the argument of anybody who wants to be in the military ought to be in the military.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, one of the things that they were promising was to pay for sexual reassignment surgery. That is not a function nor an expense that the United States military can or should be undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the argument made from some Democratic senator today that, oh, it's less than 0.1% of the U.S. military budget. The U.S. military budget also includes things like stealth bombers and F-15 fighters and battleships. Okay, everything is 0.1% of the military budget.
Yeah.
The point is, at a time when our military is more expensive to run, if you have a choice between a soldier who costs $10 to keep on the battlefield and a soldier who costs $10 and a penny to keep on the battlefield, we need to be in save the penny mode.
Well, that's the thing. But I'm in that mindset of whoever wants to fight for this country should be able to. Now we are talking in different circumstances when you say the federal government is now being required to pay for gender transition surgery for these people. That is not. But if somebody that identifies as a man or a woman who that is not their born sex, that doesn't need the government to pay for that surgery or whatnot.
But they still do, because after you transition,
you get free health care, that's right.
No, after you transition, even if you pay for the transition yourself, you still have hormone therapy for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That is adding a cost.
The government pays for health care.
That is adding a cost to this soldier that I don't have to pay for a non-transsexual soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would make the same argument about people who have chronic mental illness. I would make the same argument about diabetics. All the people who used to be 4F back in the day, who the government will now take because they are desperate to have anybody who would come and fight. Given a choice between that soldier that costs a penny more and the one that doesn't, they want to take the one that doesn't. And there are known ongoing health costs associated with transgender soldiers that do not exist for non-transgender soldiers. Now, the counter to that argument is, well, where do you draw the line? Are we not going to take people on antidepressants? Probably shouldn't be taking people who are taking a lot of antidepressants.
Yeah, but I'm going to say that 90% of people that are coming out of war are being put on antidepressants. Yeah,
after you serve is one thing. I'm talking about while you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to be really far gone to not get into the Army these days.
But then again, what are we cutting the limit at antidepressants?
Right. Are we going to take diabetics?
I mean, somebody that takes technically something that I take to sleep is considered an antidepressant.
Yeah.
Not because it's... I don't want to characterize myself into a depressed because I'm not in that category, but it falls under an antidepressant.
But here's where this whole thing falls apart, and here's where the media coverage falls apart and the public debate falls apart. This needs to be a question of what does it cost to keep a trans soldier on the battlefield versus a non-trans soldier. And if that cost is significantly higher, then the economic argument needs to win out. This isn't about human rights. This isn't about how we feel about transgender people. This isn't about whether you think it's right or wrong. But that's what the rhetoric is about.
Mm-hmm.
It is about cost, and it needs to be about cost. And Democrats look at that, and they're like, you're cold-hearted, conservative bastard putting money ahead of people. These are tax dollars. There are no unlimited resources mm-hmm. for any government agency, okay? If there is no cost difference, or if there is no significant cost difference associated with trans people being in the military,
let everybody in.
Let them in. Problem solved. But you have to run that cost analysis on it and tell the American people this is what and because Donald Trump specifically brought that up. And that
but of
to
course
me,
that's not reported.
That to me, the whole thing about disruption, that's nonsense. But medical costs is a legitimate issue. And it is a legitimate issue that should be looked at.
Saint-Tropez.
That is a coast in France, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sexy, sexy European people mm-hmm. With no body fat and armpit hair hang out there.
Yep.
Men and women have the armpit hair over there. I heard nothing about Saint-Tropez.
More than 12,000 people were evacuated as raging wildfires continue to tear along the south coast of France this afternoon.
So I thought that was in the United Kingdom for some reason. I didn't realize it was in Saint-Tropez.
Hundreds of Brits who are vacationing there right now are feared to be among those forced to flee. Joan Collins had to leave her house, apparently.
The horrors.
Yes. A violent forest fire took the dry Mediterranean forests. And it started at 11 p.m. on Tuesday. So, yeah, we're talking upwards of 12,000 people already evacuated. There's a place called Mimosas, may I just say, in that area, which is hilarious because I want to go just to drink a mimosa there.
Chainsaw.
Chainsaw. Chainsaw.
Chainsaw.
Hmm. Somebody have an accident with a chainsaw?
No.
No. Is there recall on chainsaws?
No.
I don't know.
That's what drifter Franz Rusis used to assault 5 people in Schaffhausen, Switzerland on Monday. Police believe he was upset with an insurance company yeah. where he walked in and attacked 2 people with a chainsaw before going out in the street and attacking 3 more, then getting into his car and driving away.
I did see that.
The Switzerland chainsaw massacre. You can't even call it a massacre because nobody died.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lived, but you do not want to get cut open with a chainsaw.
I still have that scene in Scarface. That's my least favorite scene. Out of all the bad
scenes. Say hello to my little friend.
In Scarface, that scene. Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's
is delicious, but
no, it's not. It's not anything that anyone should ever eat again.
True.
Because the organic food people, they're the new PETA. They're the new, like, so far, seems reasonable, but then you find out they're so far out there that you just can't deal with them anymore. These, by the way, are the same folks that came after my oat friends for just putting oats in a can and said those aren't oats. Well, now they're after Ben and Jerry's because glyphosate turned up in Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I got news for you. There's glyphosate on everything. Everything.
If anybody's wondering what glyphosate is in a popular consumer product.
It's in Roundup.
Roundup,
kills
yeah.
plants dead. We love
it. Not so family friendly and environmental friendly.
Yeah, I want to know how glyphosate gets into ice cream.
In the grass that the cows eat.
It's possible.
Cows make the milk.
It's possible. Hmm. We're not talking about large amounts, but some people are like...
Small traces.
Any amount of glyphosate is too much. We don't know if it is or not.
And we're also not saying that you're going to eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's and, you know, die off of pesticide poisoning.
But it's like, yeah, these are the same folks that went after the Quaker people. And said, "There's you need to put a label on that because there aren't oats in that can. There's oats and glyphosate." It's like, it's a cardboard box full of oats. Leave the oat people alone. Leave Ben
now
and Jerry alone. It's not even Ben and Jerry anymore. It's some heartless corporation. Leave the ice cream people alone.
You're up.
James Bond.
Ooh. We saw him back in November.
We did.
James Bond, there's a new movie coming out. They're trying to... Are they filming? I don't know. They're filming it?
No.
No. I don't know.
The 25th film in the series will be out on November 8th, 2019. According to MGM and Eon Studios, Daniel Craig returns for one last time as James Bond.
I wonder how many more they're going to have.
And we know... This is actually the 25th James Bond movie, and it increasingly looks like that production of Othello that we saw last December was all about getting Daniel Craig to do one more James Bond film.
I'm going to give you Kaspersky Labs.
How old?
Tuesday,
so yesterday. Because the last story that I saw about Kaspersky Labs was a week ago. And
it's actually a pretty big story.
It was them complaining about the United States government enacting sanctions against them.
Which we talked about.
For allegedly having close ties to the KGB. I didn't see anything about Kaspersky this week.
So Moscow-based Kaspersky Labs on Tuesday announced that it was rolling out a free version of an antivirus software across the globe.
Ooh.
A product launch that comes...
It's Russian spyware.
Right, after mounting suspicion in the United States at cyber firm... is vulnerable to Russian government influence. So this is their PR move. We're going to give you antivirus. Kaspersky Free was immediately available in the United States, Canada, and several Asia-Pacific countries and would launch in other regions in the coming month. The founder posted a blog about it. Really interesting.
In Soviet Russia, computer programs you. I'm going to save that one for last. I got two more, right?
You do.
Usher.
Usher, the singer?
Yes.
Was just on Carpool Karaoke with James Corden yesterday.
Not. Something else about him came out yesterday that is way more interesting than Carpool Karaoke.
I actually watched it today. It was really interesting.
I love James Corden. I love Carpool Karaoke, but oh boy, this is way bigger than James Corden.
Did he cheat on another one of his baby mamas?
Yes.
What's the story?
He's being sued for $20 million for giving a woman herpes.
Oh.
Usher recently revealed that he had herpes and prompting a woman who had been with him to get tested. She initially sued him for $10 million and then doubled her amount because of pain and suffering. This is why you wrap those things up, kids.
All right, last one for you. I'm going to give you John Connolly.
John Connolly. I know that name.
You do. Especially if you live in this area.
Yeah. John, oh my God. Wow. Yeah, but they, like, how many John Connolly's that? Come on.
Just in,
we're
like,
right next to Somerville.
D Street in South Boston.
Which John Connolly are we talking about? Is it Johnny from the East Side? Is it Johnny from D Street? Is it Johnny from Mepha?
All right, I'll give you a little bit more. Former FBI agent John Connolly.
Oh, I saw the name, did not read the story.
He is a disgraced former FBI agent serving time in a 1983 murder linked to the imprisoned New England mob boss, Whitey Bulger, has a new prison release date if he lives that long. Florida Commission of Offensive Review on Wednesday, so today, set a June 22nd, 2039.
Yikes.
He will be 98.
Wow. Yeah.
So it got pushed up a few years. Good behavior.
Don't count your days, Connolly.
Interesting. What is he doing in Florida?
They all went to Florida.
Oh, that's right.
They all got sent all over the country. Discovery Channel.
It's Shark Week.
Yes, it is. The story is about that.
May I say I truly enjoy Shark Week. I don't know. Shark Week.
You're in Boston. Call it by its proper name. Shark Week. Shark Week on the Discovery Channel.
They did some interesting show in New York.
Nope.
Last night. Nope.
Okay. Nope.
Highest ratings?
Nope. Well,
lowest ratings.
It got ratings because
nobody has TVs.
Because everybody got angry about it. Discovery Channel is in hot water after hyping Phelps versus Shark.
Yes.
When it didn't feature Michael Phelps racing next to a shark. Because that was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Discovery Channel is standing by their decision, saying, at no time did we ever suggest we were going to put Michael Phelps in a pool with a shark. But a lot of people apparently tuned in and thought they were going to see that and were disappointed that it was a computer-simulated shark. Michael Phelps, by the way, lost. The great white can outswim Michael Phelps.
Gold medal for him.
Who knew?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised in Rio they didn't have sharks in the tank.
Molly made me watch that and was one of those people that thought he was going to get in a pool with a shark.
You did or your wife?
My wife.
Of course.
Yes. At which point I told her I'm team shark. Because seeing Michael Phelps get eaten by a shark would be great television.
Nothing
against Michael Phelps.
So coming next year to Shark Week, we're actually going to have a shark verse. America's disgraced swimmer, Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would make it better.
That would be fantastic.
Put Ryan Lochte in a shark in a pool and let's see what happens.
I think that white shimmer from his hair will attract the tiger.
Does it resemble
tiger
a seal?
Tiger shark, is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah. Michael Phelps could we did find out that Michael Phelps could outswim a reef shark. So that's good.
They're smaller.
Yeah.
He's quick.
855-915-9636. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock. And then on the towel, Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, illegal immigration, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, who's in charge of what, who's passing the buck, everybody, as usual. New legislation pending. We'll get you caught up on what's going on. I did not intend for this song to be ironic when I put it on the playlist, but this week, I guess it is. So if you're on vacation, I'm sorry. This is WMFO Medford.
but I'm still the king of me. You have a fancy ride, but baby, I'm the one who has the key. Every time I turn around,
because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Big Picture with Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday, 7 to 9, 855-915-9636. Oh, Massachusetts. They do it again. Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court in a stunning, of course, not surprising decision has brought our Commonwealth one step closer to sanctuary city status. That's how I'm going to put it. The SJC on Monday ruled that the current Massachusetts law, quote, provides no authority for Massachusetts court officers to arrest and hold an individual solely based on the federal civil immigration detainer
right.
beyond the time that the individual would otherwise be entitled to be released in state custody, end quote.
So basically, if you don't have a criminal warrant, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, take a hike.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people you want us to detain will be doing.
You know, the State House News Agency says that the ruling concerns this case of, how do you pronounce the name? Seyroun?
Yes.
Lun, who was born to Cambodian parents in a Thai refugee camp, entered the United States at about 7 months old in 1985. So we're the same age. Lund was ordered to be deported for crimes committed in the United States in the 2000s. He was arrested last fall on charges. He robbed money from a homeless man, but the charges were dismissed. He was then held again at...
Because the homeless man didn't show up.
Yes.
That's why those charges... Not because...
He's illegal.
They were mitigated, but because the complainant did not show up in court.
Mm-hmm. He was also held by Boston Municipal Court to be picked up for deportation by ICE. That's the immigration agency.
Right. So this is the backstory on this, because the details of this were reported poorly. This guy has a bunch of outstanding immigration warrants. Mm-hmm. The United States government wants him out of the country because he's been committing crimes. Even though he's been in this country since he was 7 months old. That is a problem in this whole story. But the United States government wants him out of the country because he's a screw-up. He gets caught robbing a homeless guy. They throw him in jail. On the day of his trial, the homeless guy doesn't show up. So the charges are dismissed. And at that point, he should either be released. One of three things. He should be released because there are no charges pending against him. Number two, he should be held until ICE can come and pick him up. Or number three, he should be turned over to ICE custody. Commonwealth did what ICE would like the Commonwealth to do in this situation, and the police continued to hold him, waiting for ICE to come and pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
It's at that point that he sues and says, you can't do that. And the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court says, hey, we don't have to follow federal law. That's the federal government's problem. No criminal warrant, no retainer.
So let me recap again in case you missed something. Essentially, what the facts are is that Lund committed a series of crimes in 2000 for which he was ordered to be deported. True or false?
True.
He did not leave the country, and late last year, he was charged with stealing from a homeless man. Again, not charged because they were dropped. True or false?
True.
And the SJC says the Boston court system was wrong in holding him for ICE so that the deportation order could be carried out. SJC says Lund's rights were violated.
This is a really bad case to try and test any of this stuff, because by virtue of this guy being in the country since he was 7 months old when he came over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's an American citizen. I'm sorry. If you've been in the country since you were 7 months old, you're an American citizen. I don't know why this guy doesn't have... How old is he now?
But here's the thing. We talk so much, Derek, on the show about legality, being in this country legally or not. Should this man be a citizen? Should this man have gotten his legal status? Yes. He's been here long enough. He's been here for 32 years, of course.
But
he is not. He is here in this country illegally. We add that with he is somebody here in this country that is illegal. He has committed not one, two, multiple crimes, just got lucky that somebody didn't show up that he robbed.
But here's the thing. The guy,
am I missing something?
Yes, the guy's been in the country since he was 7 months old.
I'm going by...
Okay.
Is it legal or not? You are the biggest proponent of saying we cannot keep people here because they're nice or they own the bodega down the
street.
But I want to make a point about this. You're here legally or illegally?
I want to make a point about this. The guy's been in the country since he was 7 months old.
So if you're under 1 year old and you come to this country, you automatically are granted status?
In the eyes of anybody other than a law enforcement official looking at the technical definition of the law that says you weren't born in the United States, this guy's an American. He grew up here. He went to our schools.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in American culture. He speaks English.
Derek, I will agree with
okay.
you. But if we're talking about the law and talking about when the court makes a decision like this, it is based on law.
Again.
By papers, by law, he is here illegally.
No, it's not. Because when a court makes a decision, the personal biases of the judges are going to enter into that decision, inevitably.
But
yes,
when should personal biases...
Yes, they are going to look at precedent, they're going to look at what the law says, all the rest of this. What they're going to look at is a guy who's been in the United States since he was 7 months old. And now ICE wants to throw him out of the guy doesn't have another country. He doesn't know anything else. And that's what the somewhere in the back of the judge's minds, they're like, yeah, but this guy. And this is the problem with this case. And this is the problem with using this kind of a case to establish the precedent. Because if we're talking about some 19-year-old that snuck into this country with a bunch of El Salvadoran immigrants and is an MS-13 gang member stabbing kids to death under a bridge in Chelsea.
I agree. Very, very different.
And, and nobody shows up for his trial because they know they're going to get stabbed or shot if they do. And they don't hold that kid. Everybody's losing their mind. But that's not the case that we're dealing with. We're dealing with, oh, look at the little baby who grew up to be an American.
No, and Derek, I completely agree with you.
You're not sending this guy back to Cambodia.
This is a very poor example to use to set precedent for this kind of thing. Because again, yes, you and I would consider him an American citizen because of how long he's been here.
He is.
But he should also know to become a citizen. There are laws on the books. Well, the
clearly he can't because he's committed enough crimes that we want to throw him out.
Any high court should not be using personal biases to determine the ruling of law.
Yeah, but they do. We've seen it over and over again this year, especially with the Trump deport, with the Trump travel ban. Every single one of those cases is coming from some softy.
Because the popular norm in this rhetoric that's going on in society, it's like, keep everybody in here. Look at all the signs on mainstream media that people were holding at these protests. No human is illegal. Well, yes, they are.
Yeah.
Here in America, yes, when you come to this country and you don't have the papers that say you are a legal citizen, you are not.
You know what I love?
It's really, really simple.
I love law and order, and I love respect for the law. That's what I love. I love people, too. And if you came to this country without going through the proper channels...
So for 32 years, you had an opportunity to become a citizen and you didn't?
If you came
to
this country...
So I'm going to feel bad because you're lazy?
Well, but that's the kind of case that they've put in front of us to try and drum up the... Look at this poor guy.
Yeah, you
How can we just hold on to him indefinitely? Why do they... Well, he's been here since he was a baby. That's what they're going to give you.
There are ways of doing things correctly. If you don't do things correctly, unfortunately, you are faced with the ramifications of it or the consequences of it. When we're talking about doing something wrong, when you had 32 years to become a citizen legally, then you should have done it.
This gets into...
you're also a criminal.
This gets into an interesting...
Like, are we just forgetting that?
This gets into an interesting area of constitutional law.
Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. He's robbing people. So sad.
This gets into an interesting area of constitutional law in the United States because the way the Constitution is written, any law, any rule, any requirement that is not expressly stated by the federal government of the United States... reverts to the states. Now, the states have always, until recently, taken any sort of directive that comes from the federal government and said, we're going to comply. You know, you tell us what to do, we'll do it. You're the federal government, we're the states, you're the ultimate authority. The Constitution does not actually set it up that way. The federal government hasn't come out and passed a law that says every state needs to do this. And clearly the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts feels that the federal government, Immigration Customs Enforcement, have not set out that rule. Then it is up to the states to decide whether or not they're going to comply with a federal request to hold somebody indefinitely who has not committed a crime. In response to this, legislation was introduced amidst much protesting today on Beacon Hill that would give Massachusetts police officers the ability to hold people without a criminal warrant on an ICE detainer. So if we catch illegal immigrants, Immigration and Customs Enforcement is looking for them, we will hold on to them until Immigration and Customs Enforcement comes by and picks them up.
But the reality is, in Boston and states and cities around the country, a lot of these local law enforcement on the smaller level, Boston is not a good example.
Do you think...
Are not detaining these people because they don't have the means to do it. And these are what... this is what happens when somebody gets murdered by an illegal alien and or illegal immigrant. And then there's all these questions and wondering, well, where did they slip through the cracks? Were they on ICE's watch? Were they on local law enforcement? And it's this finger pointing back and forth and saying, well, no. ICE is responsible. The local agencies are saying that. But then in turn, ICE is saying, no, you live in Medford. You have to take care of
that. There's a whole separate problem that exists, which is if ICE wants somebody, when they're picked up, ICE should walk in and be like, we'll take this from here. Mm-hmm. Like, come in and get your people so that we don't have to house them indefinitely. Because you're right. It is not the job of local police or state police or the Massachusetts Department of Corrections to indefinitely hold illegal aliens that the federal government wants. That is the federal government's job. And this falls under the category of unfunded mandate. Except, as the Supreme Judicial Court found, there's no mandate. There's no requirement that we comply with anything that ICE asks us to do.
And for the most part, we're using state money.
So, we now have legislation pending on Beacon Hill that would give local law enforcement the ability to hold illegal aliens. Do you think that has a snowball's chance in hell in passing in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
I'm going to give you a big no.
Honestly, it nope. should. It should. Nope. Because like I say, I love law and order. I love rules. I love respect for the law. Even when the law is stupid. I'm not going out and buying fireworks anymore because I'm in one of three freaking states where they're illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I wouldn't under any circumstances. We can all bend rules every now and again. And we all do. Everybody drives drunk. If you drink, you've driven drunk. If you smoke pot, you drive stoned. We break laws every single day. But the laws do exist for a reason. And in the absence of an actual federal law that says if ICE requests that you hold this person, you must hold this person, which our Supreme Judicial Court says does not exist, then either the feds have to get their act together and pass that rule and say there will be consequences. We're going to throw your police officers in jail if you don't follow this rule.
Mm-hmm.
Or the state has to pass that rule and make a decision about whether or not we are going to be good citizens of the United States of America and uphold laws that say you can only come to this country legally, or if we're going to be the goofball, moonbat, breakaway republic that we love to be, and just say, welcome illegals. Everybody come on in and have a good time. That's the choice that you've got. And it's not about, here's the thing, we're not talking about a country that doesn't allow anybody in. We've
gotten ourselves in trouble for the past 15 years for doing so.
We have a pretty freaking generous immigration system in the United States of America.
That's
in case you hadn't noticed.
Understatement.
In case you hadn't noticed, we have a pretty freaking generous immigration system in this country. There's no reason for anybody to be sneaking
and
in.
And very, very lax on rules and regulations that follow.
Yeah. So, if we're talking about these MS-13 kids coming in here to murder people, they got to go. This guy, but this is the case that they're going to give you. Oh, look at this. He's been here for 32 years. He's been here since he was 7 months old. You can't send him to another country. He's Cambodian, isn't he? You can't send him back. He doesn't know anybody in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how to live in Cambodia. He's an American.
But what? Because you feel bad? Because of what his situation is going to be?
That's the reality of the situation.
You feel bad for somebody that's illegal. You feel bad for somebody that doesn't know anybody in their home country.
You have to make...
That they are an actual citizen of. You feel bad for somebody that's a criminal. This is what you're telling me.
You have to make a carve-out for somebody who was brought to this country under the age of 1 year old. If you're under one and you're brought to this country...
Well, you know what? At age one, you should have gotten citizenship. At age two, you should have gotten citizenship. But three, four, five, six.
But you can't.
32?
You can't until...
You 32? You waited that long?
You got to be here for a certain number of years, and you got to apply, and you committed some crimes. So we're not going to give him citizenship. But this is one of those gray area cases
exactly.
that you fall into.
You are not... What have you told me before? You want to come into this country... just like Canada does.
Do it right.
You want to come into this country.
Do it legally.
One, you have to do it legally. But two, what are you going to give this country?
Canada's.
What are you going to provide for this country? Is it your intellectual abilities with having a job? Is it you're going to be putting money into the system? Because what this is to me, regardless of his situation, he came at 7 months years old, black and white, he's illegal, he's committed crimes. Bye. Bye.
But he's a, but
he, you didn't do
you
it.
Can't
you
with
didn't
this guy.
Do, why
you can't with
you?
This guy. Because and, he's an American citizen.
But you can't with everybody else. The hundreds of thousands of people that are here illegally, you can't with them.
If you're in
because
your, if
we're you, just going to no. start making exceptions.
If you're in your 20s and you come here and you break the law, get out. Canada, by the way, is throwing people out as fast as they cross the border. This is the one thing about that
but
story no one's telling
you. If you take away age, you take away
he's,
longevity of how they've been here.
If
illegal,
you,
yes. Committed crimes, yes.
If you grew up in the United States of America and went to our schools, speak our, and this is the only thing that you
but
know.
Did he? Do you know him? Did he? Did he graduate high school? Did he,
I don't know
did
if
he get a superlative?
I don't know if he graduated
is he like
high school.
A big part of the community?
He went, yeah? to, he went mm. to school until he was 16.
Okay.
At least, because you're required to do that by law in this country. The guy's an American citizen. This is a terrible case to use as an example in this situation. You needed a better case, but the SJC has a point. We need to pass the bill saying that we will hold the people on the ICE detainers. This is WMFO Medford.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. Time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. Polar. I always have to give you the latest on the new Polar flavors. Local company. Crazy new flavors. I still have a bunch of their other ones that are really good, but I don't want to drink them at my boyfriend's. But this new one we have. All right, ready for this? They're mini, too, so you don't have to open the big one. First, we have Dragon Whispers, Yeti Mischief, Mermaid Songs, and Oldie But Goodie, Unicorn Kisses right, that sold out right. of every
nope,
single...
Nope,
no, this is great.
Nope,
stop
nope,
it.
No.
Nope. Bring...
not real. Not real
every
flavors.
Every single female that is listening right now is like losing their mind because they are trying to mentally picture what they are going to use that with a mixer, flavored vodkas, gin, because that's really what Polar Seltzer was made for. So we don't know what the flavors taste like yet because they're not coming out until next week. But there have been rumors that Yeti Mischief tastes a lot like Hawaiian Punch.
Through the looking glass.
Interesting.
I'm close to done with the Polar people.
I love it.
I'm Pokemon Go players. Articuno, the legendary bird, is out there. But you'll only be able to get one until July 30th. After that, it will be replaced by Moltres until August 7th. And then Zapdos from August 8th to 14th. After that, we don't know. There may be no more legendary birds. Niantic isn't saying anything. Nobody knows what's going on here. They are showing up in gyms in raid battles. If you want one of these things, you're going to have to find a group of people to take them down. Because no single trainer is going to be able to take down an Articuno by themselves. They have 35,000 combat points. It's ridiculous. So if you want to get one, you got until the end of this weekend to do it. I recommend hanging around the Harvard Central Square area, maybe around Beacon Street over in Brookline, down by the New England Aquarium, Faneuil Hall Marketplace, because they have been showing up at gyms down there. And once word gets out online, you generally have a bunch of people willing to help you catch one. So good luck getting your first legendary Pokemon this weekend.
We end the show every week with that's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Always Florida. Florida man who identified himself as a drug dealer called police early Sunday to report the theft of cash and a small bag of cocaine from his vehicle, according to the arrest report. Cops say that David Blackman, 35, complained that the auto burglar swiped $50 and about one quarter of an ounce of cocaine from his car that was parked near his Fort Walton Beach residence.
I demand justice.
Well, Blackman was showing the county sheriff's officer and deputy where his cash and cocaine had been. The cop noticed a second bag, a plastic baggie containing more cocaine at the center console. Further examination of Blackman's ride, cops say, turned out a crack pipe in the vehicle's floorboard and a crack rock on the center console. Contents of the plastic baggie, the crack rock, and the pipe were all tested positive for cocaine. Yeah. Court records show that Blackman's rap sheet includes trespassing, domestic battery, resisting arrest, cocaine possession, grand theft, probation violation, and child neglect, for which he spent 1 year in state prison. When not selling drugs, Blackman has worked for Goodwill, Walmart, and his current job at Sonic.
I don't know who's worse here. Mr. Blackman for calling the
so
police.
So the story is Sonic makes you smoke crack.
I don't know if he's worse for calling the police because his drugs got stolen, or the burglar is worse for leaving that much drugs in the car.
I know it.
It's like, look around, guy. You're going to get more. Sweden. Unlike the Natural Environment Research Council in the United Kingdom, which rejected the name Bodie McBoatface for a new research vessel last year, Swedish rail operator MTR Express is standing by its plan to let the public name a new train in an online vote. The winner, Trainee McTrainface, will begin running between Stockholm and Gothenburg later this year. The name captured 49% of the online vote, beating out competitors including Hakan, Miriam, and Poseidon. Congratulations, Trainee McTrainface, on your upcoming inaugural run.
Did we really think that they weren't going to do anything else?
I love it.
Everything is, whatever the subject is or the object, it's that. Mick that face.
I lost all respect for the British scientific community when they rejected Bodie McBoatface because that was the coolest name for a boat ever. And what do? They named one of the little submarines that's on board.
The research vessel.
Yeah, one of the little research rover subs is now called Bodie McBoatface. No. The people spoke.
Yeah. The people wanted Bodie McBoatface.
Sweden gets it. They're like, you want to name it Trainee McTrainface? All right, it's Trainee McTrainface. Mm-hmm. They should have named it. I'm surprised it didn't go up against Bodie McBoatface.
Like Thomas Tank Engine.
Because we really do need a piece of transport with that name. Anyway, that is all the time that we have. Until next week, she is Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. We will see you next Wednesday night. Until then, stay safe, everybody.